Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. Welcome here in person. Folks online, thanks for tuning in online. Today, we're going to keep getting real. We're going to get really practical about moving beyond religion and having a kingdom heart of goodness. So I'm going to start out with a pretty real story from the internet. There was this guy named Mike, and Mike had a horrible neighbor, Mr. Johnson. And what Mr. Johnson would do is he'd let his dog poop all over Mike's lawn, and he would never clean it up. And Mike, you know, one day after stepping in another surprise landmine, decided it was time to get revenge. So he scoops up one of the neighbor dog's gifts to him, and he carefully packs it into one of those glitter bombs. You know those boxes? It's like a prank box that you open it and the glitter blows everywhere. So he packs it in it carefully. He puts it on Mr. Johnson's porch. A few hours later, he hears the explosion. He hears the cursing. He has his revenge. Until he doesn't. The next day, Mr. Johnson goes around and picks up all the poop in his yard and all the neighbor's yard and spreads it all over Mike's car. And not just the hood, like under the handles, on the windshield wipers, in the tailpipe. It takes hours for Mike to clean it up, and the smell doesn't go away for months. See, revenge is fun until it's not, until there's poop everywhere. Or as Gandhi said, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. Sure, but you know, when people harm us, when we're injured, when bad things happen to me, the people that do it, they deserve to pay, don't they? Come on, they deserve to pay. How do we actually respond when people hurt us? Yeah. Let's say, you know, a stranger shoves us because they're in a hurry. Do we shove them back? See how you like it. Or a friend betrays us, right? Do we take screenshots of their private messages and post them online so people can see all the dumb things they've ever said? Or let's say a coworker steals our promotion. Do we accidentally delete their project file the day before it's due? Or let's say a relative cuts us deep with their insults. Do we cut them off? We don't talk to them for months, years, decades. And sometimes we even make this religious, right? Someone hurts us and we're like, oh, God's gonna get you. You better repent before it gets worse. And then they apologize and we're like, well, I'll never forgive you. I want you to suffer like I did. See, we got a problem with revenge. We do. We need a healthier way to respond when people hurt us. We get stuck in these revenge spirals, and it gets out of control, right? It escalates and it backfires and it has real world ugly consequences. Studies show that seeking revenge leads to prolonged stress, higher cortisol levels. Also, higher rates of anxiety and depression. It prevents closure. How about a few statistics? Over 60% of fatal accidents involve aggressive driving, some kind of road rage. Over 20% of homicides are revenge killings. Over 80% of gang violence is retaliatory acts. Yeah, how do we get out of this revenge spiral? How do we find a healthier way to respond when people hurt us? Well, Jesus, right? Genius Jesus, he of course has an answer. Here's what Jesus says. You have heard what it is said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Whoa, let that sink in. That's not how our world works. And you know, this could be probably one of the hardest parts. I think it is the hardest part in the Sermon on the Mount for people to accept. We're like, I can't do that. No way. I can't be a doormat like that. There's no way. This is impossible. And in a way, it is impossible. Without Jesus, without the Holy Spirit giving us a kingdom heart of goodness. Yeah, the last few weeks, we've been talking about how Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, be ye perfect. Matthew 5:48. Jesus wasn't kidding when at the beginning of this section of the Sermon on the Mount we're studying, he said this, For I tell you that unless your righteousness, your dekiasune, your true inner goodness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 5, 20 through 48, where we are now, Jesus is showing us what that would look like. He's giving us a vision of what righteousness, dekeisune, that goes beyond that of the Pharisees, looks like. He's giving us six contrasts, and we're in the fifth one now, six contrasts between the old religious righteousness and the new kingdom righteousness, true inner goodness. And these six contrasts, these six illustrations, they show us how a kingdom heart of goodness operates in the real world. In the real world, if you have a kingdom heart of goodness, you don't have to try super hard to be perfect. No, it automatically comes. You naturally turn the other cheek. As Jesus said, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. See, a new heart, a kingdom heart of goodness. That is Jesus's very workable solution to our problem with revenge, with how to respond in a healthy way when people hurt us. Now, today, we've already looked at the problem, this impossible thing where we've got to get people back when they hurt us. Now let's look at the solution. Actually, we're going to look at two solutions. Jesus gives us two solutions. He contrasts that religious solution with the kingdom heart solution. So first off, the religious solution, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, right? It's the equalization of damage, right? It's, you know, injury will go this far and then we'll limit it. So if I break your arm, I get my arm broken, right? But I don't get both arms broken. I don't get an arm broken and a finger. This religious solution actually has made it into our laws, and it has a fancy Latin name. It's called tex talionosis. I don't speak Latin, but tex talionosis, yeah. And so here's a few things about this principle. First, it is seen as a great advance in civilization because it's proportional. It limits the harm. It keeps the whole world from going blind. Now, religious scholars believe that the eye for eye business in the Bible, in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that was likely instructions for courts, for judges. The Pharisees made it also into a justification for personal revenge. And here's the third thing. Personal revenge, tex talionosis, rarely works. It's almost impossible for us to stop. We want to keep going with the revenge. We want to keep getting. We get into the revenge spiral. Gandhi was right. We need a better solution. We need one. And again, Jesus has got one for us. He's going to contrast that religious solution with his new kingdom heart solution, the new dekeisune, the new true inner goodness. So let's look at it again, Jesus' solution. You have heard that it is said, eye for eye, and tooth for tooth. Again, that's the old righteousness, the old dekeisune, where the Pharisees live. But I tell you, here's the new kingdom righteousness. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Again, let that sink in. It is so countercultural. And Jesus isn't kidding. He's saying, for real, if your heart changes, you can do this. Like, automatically, this can happen. But first, let's talk about some things that Jesus is not saying. Right? We got to be clear on what he's saying and what he's not saying. So here's some things that Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not giving us a bunch of new rules to follow. No, he's not turning up the heat and making it even harder to get into the kingdom of God. His solution is not new legalism. We've talked about this before, right? In the Sermon on the Mount, he's giving us illustrations, examples of how the kingdom heart operates. He's not giving us a bunch of new rules. Here's how Dallas Willard talks about this distinction. Will there, then, be cases in which persons of kingdom dekeisune will not do what is said here by way of illustration? Quite certainly. But they will be very rare, so long as it is only an individual injury that is at stake and no issues of a larger good are concerned. After all, this is characteristic behavior of a person with a kingdom heart, and it does express who that person is at the core of his or her being. Though we are not talking about things one must do to be Christian or go to heaven when you die, we are looking at how people live who stand in the flow of God's life now. We see the interior righteousness of those who are living as a matter of course, not just in exceptional moments beyond the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees. Again, with our pride, it is super easy for us to turn all these things Jesus is saying into rules that we are going to follow and we are going to earn our way into the kingdom. Resist that temptation. It goes nowhere. We're going beyond religion, beyond religion. Next, let's take a closer look at verse 39. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. The Greek word that gets translated resist, just as often it gets translated oppose. Sometimes it gets translated rebel against or be hostile toward. N.T. Wright, he translates it here as don't use violence to resist. And notice, it doesn't say don't resist evil in general, it says don't resist an evil person. The solution here, Jesus' solution, is not accepting evil. I mean, come on. I mean, this is Jesus. It's the Bible. It's all about fighting and defeating evil. Jesus is showing us a new way to fight evil. It's to fight evil with good, with love. The evil in other people, Jesus fights that with his love. He did that on the cross. He's inviting us to do that too. So what does that look like in the real world? I mean, to actually do that, well, the Apostle Paul gives us an example. He got into a fight with Peter. When Cephas, that's Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed or resisted, it's the same Greek word, opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, Peter, in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Okay. So Peter was a tad bit racist towards Gentiles. And racism, it can make us forget how following Jesus works. It's not about works, it's about faith. Here, Peter is the evil person, and Paul is opposing. He's resisting him. How? Paul doesn't punch him. He doesn't hit him. He doesn't insult him. He doesn't do anything to personally harm him. But he does, in love, in public, call him out. He denounces the evil thing that Peter is doing, right? He says, no, this ain't okay. And he did it because Peter is like a top leader, right? He's the head of this whole thing. Paul can't just let this go. He has to do this in public, but he also has to do it in love. Paul fights Peter's racism with his words and his love. And it works. Peter repents. This is an example for us to follow, how to fight with love. We can follow this example. And the point is, what we're not to do is just accept evil. And I know that can be tempting. Maybe you've been in a place in your life where you're like, well, I should just let this slide. I can just tolerate this. No, that is not the solution. Not the solution here. Related point. Jesus, he's not talking about whether we resist evil. He's talking about how we do it. So, for example, if your husband or your partner hits you, beats you up, abuses you, the solution here isn't just to let it go and just get along. No. If you're abused, Jesus is not telling you you have to stay in an abusive situation. No, please seek safety and protection. It's biblical. It's in the Bible. If you're abused, Jesus is not saying you have to keep it secret. Please tell someone and get some advice. That's biblical too. And if you're abused, Jesus is absolutely not telling you that you shouldn't call the police. Please let human authorities administer justice. That's biblical. If you're abused, Jesus sees you and he loves you. He knows it's wrong and he cares. And it's okay to love your abuser, to forgive them. That's not bad. And seek help for yourself. Holy Spirit, come. Just come in this moment. For all those who suffer from abuse, draw close to them. You love them so much. Remind them of your incredible love for them. Remind them that you see them. Bring comfort. And Jesus, I pray that you break the cycle of abuse. Come, Lord. Come. Okay. It's good to see what Jesus is not doing here, what his solution is not. It is not new laws to follow, new rules. It's not, he's not saying just roll over for evil. No, that's not what he's saying. So what is he saying? What is his solution? Well, it's a new heart, right? It is a kingdom heart of goodness. That is Jesus' solution. And what Jesus does in this passage in Matthew is he gives us four examples, four ways that a kingdom heart acts in the real world, how it operates. He wants us to see what that kingdom heart would do, how it would operate. So let's unpack that, okay? So first off, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Folks with a kingdom heart, they regularly turn the other cheek. They stay vulnerable when they are attacked. They don't just immediately do whatever they have to do to stay safe. What about us? If someone was to slap us, punch us, do we immediately, automatically punch them back? If someone gives us the finger, does our hand immediately start going up? If someone punches us with their words, insults us, do we've got to say something back? Or do we have the kind of heart, the kind of strength that we can take a punch? We can stay engaged and vulnerable. And this isn't passive. No, this is nonviolent resistance. This is fighting with love. This is actually caring about the other person, wanting them to repent and to be free from evil. And let me tell you, punching doesn't help. But actually taking a punch, that gets people to ask why. Like, it confuses people, and they're like, why? 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 Because of Jesus. Because I have so much of his love, I don't need to hit you back. I'd rather love you back. Imagine yourself saying those words. Imagine having the kind of heart you'd need to say those words. Jesus longs to give us that heart. Next. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Folks with a kingdom heart, you sue them, and they're not out to get revenge. No, they still care about the person that's suing them. They look at what their needs are. They actually want to be helpful and meet their needs. What about us? Some of us have been sued. How do we respond? All of us have demanding people in our lives. Maybe it's that coworker that's always trying to take advantage, always trying to shove their work off on us. What do we do? How do we respond? Do we try to get back? Or is how we respond, we're like, wait, I still care about their needs, right? I have so much of God's love, so much of his love that I can actually go the extra, I can go an extra step, right? I can keep on giving after I've given. Imagine having that much love in our hearts, that much of God's love that we can keep on giving, even to people that are suing us. Next. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Back then, a Roman soldier had the right to require that you drop everything and help them. You'd have to drop all that you're doing and carry their stuff for 1 mile. That's not a thing today. But we all have people that ask, demand stuff for us when it's not our thing. It's not our responsibility. Folks with a kingdom heart, they go the extra mile because the other person's needs and problems and responsibilities matter because people matter so much in the kingdom. Imagine having a heart like that, where people matter so much to you, they matter like they matter to God. Next. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Folks with a kingdom heart, they regularly give to whoever asks, right? They give to people who aren't their friends and family and don't have a claim on them just because they were asked. They give. What about us? When someone asks us for spare change on the street, or a coworker that we don't even really know that well asks us for a ride to the airport, or we see an ad on TV, you know, asking us to give to disaster relief, to people we don't know and we'll never meet, what do? Do we turn the other channel? Do we pretend that we didn't read the email? Do we turn away from the person on the street? Or are we the kind of people that we won't just evade and ignore and turn away? Are we the kind of people that we're like, oh, okay, you're asking for something for me. God has given me so much. He's been so generous to me. Yeah, I want to give to you. Imagine that kind of heart, that you've been so blessed by God. You see how he's done so much for you that you actually want to give to everyone. You want to be radically generous. Do you see? Jesus is showing us how this kingdom heart operates in the real world. See, in our world, in the world we live in, there's kind of a presumption. People hurt you, you hurt them back. You return harm for harm. And yeah, you only really need to help people that are your friends and family that have some kind of claim on you. The kingdom of God, it's the opposite presumption. It is upside down. In the kingdom of God, no, you don't. When people harm you, you don't return evil for evil. You return good and love for evil. You help people that have no claim just because they need it, because they matter. Still seem impossible? Yeah, this is one of the hardest parts of the Sermon on the Mount. It really is. So I want to talk about three aspects, three parts, things about having a kingdom, a heart of goodness that have been helpful to me, that have helped me press in. Okay, the first one is Jesus gives us the order. He shows us the order in which the Holy Spirit forms a kingdom heart in us. The order matters. Yeah, don't start with turning the other cheek. Jesus doesn't start there. Remember, he starts with anger and contempt. And then he talks about lust and desire and relationships. Last week, Abology talked about how, you know, we get to a point where we want to even press into not manipulating people with our words, actually respecting their autonomy. Now, if you've gone through that, right, if you've dealt with those things in your life, not, you know, not perfectly, but reliably dealt with them, let me tell you, turning the other cheek, not a huge stretch. It's kind of like the natural next step. You see that? You know, people can learn to speak a foreign language, but you got to start with simple vocabulary. People can learn to play an instrument. It's not impossible. You learn some chords and, I don't know, scales. It's not impossible to do this either. It is not, not with God's help, but go in the order, right? Go start where Jesus starts. Start with our anger. Let's go back, listen to the previous messages in this series. Let God build a kingdom heart with you. If you're faced with a situation and you're like, I can't turn the other cheek, do I have some anger to deal with? Do I have some other issues that I need to work through with God first? The order matters. Jesus is giving us a pattern to follow. Okay, next. There are times in my life where I have been hurt. Oh, yeah, I've been hurt. Everyone, we're hurt by other people. There are times in my life where people make crazy demands on me. They do. And, you know, I read this in the Bible. I'm like, oh, what do I do? What do I do in this situation? God, could you just tell me exactly what to do? Send me an email. Tell me exactly what to do, and I will do that. Easy peasy. Do you see the problem there? We're trying to move beyond religion, and I'm longing for a rule, a command. I don't want to have to decide. But deciding, seeing what to do in a situation, having a heart that good fruit naturally comes from is the point here. That's the point. N.T. Wright, he describes it this way. These examples that Jesus is giving are little sketches, like cartoons, to give you the idea. Whatever situation you're in, you need to think it through for yourself. Dallas Willard expands on this. Of course, in each case, I must determine if the gift of my vulnerability, goods, time, and strength are precisely appropriate. That is my responsibility before God. As a child of the King, I always live in his presence. By contrast, the way of law avoids individual responsibility for decision. It puts the responsibility and possibly blame onto God. That is one reason why people who must have a law for all their actions lead such pinched and impoverished lives and develop very little in the way of genuine depth of godly character. If, for example, I am a heart surgeon on the way to do a transplant. I must not go a second mile with someone. I must say no and leave at the end of the first mile with best wishes and a hasty farewell. I have other things I must do, and I must make the decision. I cannot cite a law and thus evade my responsibility for judging. Do you see? This is harder than just rules and religion, but it is way better. Do we want this responsibility? I mean, if you're like me, I love certainty and clear directions. I love the ability to get it right consistently. We got to think bigger than that, better than that. Here, what Jesus is calling us into with a kingdom heart is to have a heart like him. And let me tell you, Jesus was no robot that just followed the law all the time. Jesus was the perfect human, right? He could look at any situation and see what the right thing to do was, and it naturally flowed out of him. Do we want that? Do we want to be what we were made to be, that kind of human? We've got to actually want what he's doing. Next, we can never forget that it is the Holy Spirit that forms the kingdom heart in us. Sure, we got to want it, and we got to do our part. But I think often why we think this is impossible is we think it's our job. We think, I got to do this, I got to control it, I got to make it happen. No, not going to work. My parents and grandparents are Mennonite immigrants. And let me tell you, the Mennonites, they know how to turn the other cheek. They take it seriously. My grandparents, they experienced real evil in their life, like murderous Nazis and murderous Bolsheviks. Horrible things happened to them. And they still took it seriously, turning the other cheek. Now, they didn't get it perfectly. They didn't always do it right. But you know what they did have? They had interior freedom. Interior freedom. It's a safety inside. It's knowing that you are so secure in God's love. You are so loved by God. It doesn't really matter what happens because you're always safe. You're interiorly free. That's what they had. And you know, They didn't do that. They didn't do that, right? The incredible peace that they had, the calm, for me as a child, it was incredible. These people had been through such horror in their life, and they were the kindest, lovingest, most peaceful people. How did that happen? Again, they didn't do it. They couldn't make it happen. It was a gift from God. Now, sure, they prayed a lot. They read their Bible. They had habits, disciplines, a rule of life that brought them into God's presence. What they did was they let God love them. They let God form a kingdom heart of goodness in them. Will we let God form a kingdom heart of goodness in us? Let's press into that. Let's ask him to do that for us today. I'm going to invite you to stand up now. This is what we call ministry time here at the Vineyard. It's a time where we take the things that have been going on in worship and through the talk, and we listen to God and we interact with him. We want him to come and make a difference in our lives. That's what ministry time is about. So I'm going to kick us off in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. I welcome you here with your presence, with your love. And Lord, when we talk about revenge, when we talk about responding in a healthy way when people hurt us, I think often we need to start out with confession. We can see places in our lives where we had to get back at someone. We slapped them back. We gossiped about them. We did something to get back at them. Lord Jesus, show us what that thing is and help us just to agree. Yep, I did that. That was wrong. Lord, I know for me, a decade ago, I had this person that just hurt me so bad. And every morning in the shower, when I washed my hair, I don't know why, when I washed my hair, I thought of ways to get back at them. Lord, that was wrong. That was poison for my soul. I confess. I repent of that. Lord, help us to agree with you when you point to the things that we're doing to get back at people. Help us to lay them down. And then repenting is going in the other direction. And the other direction, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, is not good enough. We want to go beyond religion, Lord. We want better than that. We don't want to just limit the damage. No, we actually want to be like you. And you didn't come, you didn't die on that cross to limit the damage. You died so that we could be perfect. Lord, I ask for that. So come now, Lord, with your love. Remind us of how much you love us. You made us, and you said it was good. We messed it up with our sin, and so you came to die on that cross. And you would have given your life, you would have given it all for each of us, for only us. You are so incredibly in love with us. Lord, help us to let you love us in lots of ways in our lives. Maybe it's through intentional habits and rules in our life, a discipline, or maybe we just need to get out in the woods and experience you, or we just need to play with our kids and be reminded of how much you love us. You love us so much. Lord, let that love change our heart. Let the vision that Jesus is giving us, the picture he's showing us here of an entirely different way to live, to live with a kingdom heart of goodness. Help us to want that, to actually want to be able to decide, and sometimes to get it wrong and to mess it up and to know you love us all the same. Lord, you want to transform us even more than we want to be transformed. So Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come and do that work in us now. We love you so much. Amen. Hey, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward. We got some folks that are trained to pray for you, to connect you with Jesus. They're going to respect your autonomy. You're in charge when you get prayer. But they are going to listen to God and tell you what they're hearing for you with an open hand. And this is a great way to press into what's going on here. Maybe there's things in your life that you need to repent from. You need to confess where you've gone for the revenge. You've tried to get back at people. come forward and confess that. Maybe there's things in your life where you haven't. You've turned the other cheek and you want to celebrate that and thank God for his goodness and his love that you've been able to do that. Come forward. I also think there could be some people here who have been abused and you have been hurt and you need Jesus' reminder that he sees you and he cares and he loves you. Come forward and get some prayer. If there's anything you need prayer for in your life, maybe it's physical healing or you're struggling with your finances, your relationships, we'd love to pray for you today. They're going to lead us in some more worship here. I encourage you, just slow down. I'll be back. We'll take communion in a few minutes. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.